Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to start there. We're going to cover a lot of scripture this morning in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Having a best friend is really a precious gift. Over the years, people have come for the first time to Lighthouse and they've said, "Hey, I'm moving here from wherever, and there I had a very best friend. And this is what I'm looking for in my very best friend at Lighthouse." And that always scares me. And I tell them, having a very best friend is a wonderful gift. And God makes those connections, and you might not find that here. You might not find that person here. But when God does bring somebody across your path, and they're one of those friends for life kind of people, that is a very exciting thing. And when you're close and you share things, that is equally special, a gift of God. Friendship is a gift of God, a great blessing in life. And so this morning I want to introduce you to my very best friend, and Timothy is going to do that. In the first chapter, in the 17th verse, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And we're going to go from there and talk about your best friend. And lots of people in the Bible talk about who their best friend is, and I want to go through Scripture and look at that this morning. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts and that you would help us to appreciate friendship this morning and what that means to us personally here, to have friends here in the congregation and in the community and in life, but more importantly, what it is to have you as a very best friend. And we'll thank you for your salvation, for your grace, for your wisdom that you give us, and we'll thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning as we come to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. When I was in high school, I had a best friend, and his name was Terry Fry. Now, they were a neighboring farm. As the crow flies, they were probably about a mile away. We could look over the fields when the corn wasn't 6 feet tall, and we could see their farm. And that's how close they were, just about a mile away as the crow flies. And Terry wasn't a sports guy. He wasn't a big guy. He wasn't even popular at school. But he was my friend. He was a brain, which kind of surprises that he would want to hang around me because I am not a brainiac, but he was. And we would play chess together, and he would beat me. And he had a chess set. He took a missions trip to Mexico, and he brought a chess set back with him. The chess pieces were waist high. And so when but he lived in a big house, and so he would set the chessboard up, and we would play chess with these big pieces that it literally took two hands to move on the board. It was a really neat experience. And at school, we would do lunch together, and we did chess club together, and just all kinds of things that we did together. If he had special services at his church, I would go with him to the missionary church across town. If we had special services at our church, he would come to where we were. Now, after high school, we drifted apart. And I have not heard or seen from Terry. We went two different directions in all these years, some 40 years. But in high school, he was a guy that I could depend on. We would, in the summertime, we would get on our bikes and ride to town to the tennis courts, and we would play tennis together. We just did everything together that we possibly could. He was a good friend. Now, today, I see his brother, 1 year older than him, Mike, and I see him regularly, and he's the fella that rents my dad's farm But I don't see Terry. But God brought Terry into my life at a time when I needed a friend, somebody to help keep me. And that was a great blessing. And even though that we have drifted apart, at that time, that was very helpful to me. 19 years of age, I went away to college, and I was kind of lost. I was lost physically. I was lost spiritually. I just kind of lost my way. I didn't have a close friend. Was all by myself, trying to find my way in life. And that's when that time of uncertainty was when I started to take seriously, 19, my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and came to realize that I was not saved. I had never trusted Christ. I'd gone to church. I'd been baptized. Been good things. Gone to special services. Gone to youth group. But could not remember a time in my life when I knew Christ. And so, as a result, if you'd have said, "Who's your very best friend?" I would have said Terry was. But I wouldn't have talked to you necessarily about Jesus Christ. The people in the Bible, when they knew Christ, they talked about him. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, Timothy says, Paul says to Timothy, "But in this book, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And Paul and Timothy, again, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Job talked about God. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Job chapter 37, verse 22 says, "Fair weather cometh out of the north. With God is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict." Now, this is Job, the oldest written book in the Bible. But when you meet God, you're going to talk about him. And Job did in that first book, put the paper. Now, chronologically, it is not the oldest book in the Bible, but the oldest book put to print is the book of Job. Moses talked about God. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, he met God. "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend." How'd you like to have that kind of relationship with the Lord? And we should. And we should. That we look upon him as a friend, and he looks upon us as a friend. In Exodus chapter 30, that's Exodus 33:11. In the 34th chapter, verse 35, when Moses spent time with the Lord, the Bible tells us that account. "The children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put a veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him." The people, they looked at Moses and they said, "Man, your face is shining. And when you spent time with Christ, your face ought to shine." We are to reflect his light. John, in the book of John, said, I'm not that light. John was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of that light, which is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John bear witness of the light, and we should reflect the love of God. But if you walk around with a sour look on your face, people think you ate prunes for breakfast, say, "What's the matter with you?" Probably because you haven't been with Jesus. Moses spent time with Jesus, and you could see it on his face. Daniel saw God. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. And this is the way he describes it. "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And so Daniel is seeing not just who God is to him on that day, but he is also referencing Revelation chapter 20, which obviously hasn't been written yet because John has not been given that revelation. That was, as we learned Wednesday evening, 96 AD. But here is Daniel, and he sees God and God's faithfulness to him while he lived, but he also saw God's judgment a long ways off, God sitting as the judge. And what did he do? When he saw that, he talked about it. Job saw it. God, he talked about God. Moses saw God, and he talked about God. Daniel saw God, and he talked about God. And I'm just saying, if you see God, you're going to talk about him. If you got up this morning and you spent time with the Lord, then throughout the day, you're going to talk about him. You're going to be sitting down with someone and say, hey, I was reading in my Bible this morning, or I saw this truth, and you're going to share that. Why? Because you spend time with the Lord. On Wednesday night, we have just started a series on the book of Revelation. And Wednesday night, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, John saw the Lord. And this is what he said, his hair and his head and his hairs were white as like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell down as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. And so here is John, and he saw the Lord. And he fell at what is he doing? He's just talking about it. Say, hey, John, what'd you do today? I saw the Lord. And what did he look like? This is what I saw. This is what he looked like. And what did you do? I fell down at his feet. And said, I'm just saying, if these men, Job, Moses, Daniel, John saw the Lord, and they talked about it. Do you talk about the Lord? Is he your friend? Is he your very best friend? He should be. And we like to talk about our friends and what they've done for us and what we've done for them. But is God your friend? Moses said, hey, I talk to the Lord face to face. God talks to me as a man talks to his friend. Do you have that sweet relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you seen him today? Have you talked about him to anyone? His truths, are they precious to you? I'm just telling you, we talk about a whole lot of stuff. We talk about things we saw on the news, things we saw on the street, things we saw at home. We'll talk about the big buck that walked across the street. Because why? We've seen those things. And if you find yourself not talking about your Creator, your Savior, I would submit to you it's because we haven't spent time with Him. We haven't seen Him today. Have you seen Him today? Here's something you don't see every day. This occurred in Warsaw, Poland. A funeral home was transporting a body in the hearse. And then it wasn't. The back door came open. There's a safety stop back there that you're supposed to put and screw in then, put that in either. It's still sitting off to the side, I surmise. And the driver's going down the road and the casket on the rollers went out the back door. Now, I'm happy to report that the casket, being a good pedestrian, landed in the crosswalk. And so here's this guy. Now, he's driving down the road and all. I tell you what, this is something you'll talk about. You're driving down the road and say, man, guess what I saw today? I was driving down the road just minding my own business, and then in the crosswalk in front of me was a body, a casket. People say, no way, where'd you see that? I tell you what, it's going to be on the news because there was all kinds of news people there. And the funeral home guy, he came back and said, I'm sorry, we just got a new hearse and it's got an electronic door. So you push a button and the door comes open and it must have malfunctioned. I suspect he forgot to lock the door. I suspect. He definitely didn't put that little crank thing back in there that's supposed to hold the casket from doing just what it did. And probably he didn't put that in. The casket slid back, hit the door. The door popped open, and out came George, sitting on the street. I'm just saying, if you saw that, you'd talk about it. I mean, you'd be telling everybody. I mean, I would come in, you say, Pastor, guess what I saw? And if I came up to the piano to talk to somebody and came back out into the lobby and somebody else was coming in, you'd be saying, hey, guess what I saw on the way to church today? You'd be talking about that. Because that's something you've seen. Have you seen the Lord? Are you talking about Him? Is He precious to you? Have you seen Him today? You see the Lord, He's going to change your life. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus saw the Lord. In John chapter 3, verse 18, Jesus Christ is talking to Nicodemus and He said, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. So just turn it off. Yeah, the overhead lights. Yeah, just hit the off button. Hit another one. There you go. Yeah, just leave it right at that. That'll be fine. Because people really don't want to see me anyways. Yeah. You see something, you're going to talk about it. You see the Lord, you're going to talk about Him. Nicodemus saw the Lord and he talked about Him. Now, the Lord talked to Nicodemus. And again, in John chapter 3, Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. And this is the condemnation. That light, Jesus Christ, is coming to the world, but men, Nicodemus, love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now, there's nothing in this passage that tells us that Nicodemus trusted Christ at this moment. From reading the scripture in John chapter 3, it would appear that Nicodemus walked away from this event speaking face to face with Jesus Christ, being pointed out as a man who is condemned, but walked away without Christ. But we believe that Nicodemus trusted Christ. Why do we believe that? Because you read the New Testament and you'll find that when he got together with the other Pharisees, he talked about Jesus. So much so that the other Pharisees said, are you also one of his disciples? I suspect that he was. At the death of Christ, Nicodemus was there, and he's mentioned. Why is he there? Because Christ impacted his life. Has he impacted your life? In John chapter 4, the very next chapter, Jesus is at the well. He's talking to the woman at the well. And she's there gathering water. She's a Samaritan, and the Samaritans and the Jews don't talk to one another. And all of a sudden, Jesus is talking to her, And she just finds that incredible. Why are you talking to me? I mean, you are obviously a Jew. I've been Samaria. I am obviously a Samaritan. We don't communicate to one another. But Jesus does, because he's not prejudiced against people because of the way they look or their nationality. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he engages her in conversation, and as a result of that meeting, she goes into town and she says to people that she would not have conversed with before. Why? Because she's got a terrible reputation. Christ said to her, go get your husband. And she said, I have no husband. And Christ said, thou hast well said, thou hast no husband. Thou hast had five husbands, and the man you're with is not your husband. Now, wouldn't that trip your trigger? If a guy you've never met before from another country started talking to you about the sin in your life. But as a result of that meeting, she went back into town. She found the people that were there, and she said, come see a man that told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? She could not help herself but to go into the city and start talking to people who normally would not listen to her because of her reputation. And she said, I've met this guy at the well, and I think he's Messiah. And so now there's a crowd of people coming out to see Jesus, because the Bible says in that 28th verse, the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city. You ever go somewhere, and we're at the early morning service, so I know this afflicts you as it afflicts me. You walk into a room and you say, I'm here for a reason. I just can't remember what it is. I mean, I purposely came here in the kitchen to get something. I can't remember what it is. So you walk out of the room to the room you were in before, and you look around the room because something in that room inspired you to walk into the kitchen and get something. You just can't remember what it is. She's out there at the well with a water pot. But she met Jesus, and she's forgotten all about the water pot. She has forgotten all about the well. She has forgotten all about the water, because she's seen Jesus, and she's going to talk about it. How did that impact the city? Verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. What was that saying? Which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, verse 40 says, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. What? Many came because of what the Samaritan woman said, but people came to see Jesus. And they trusted him because they were convinced that he was the Christ. And said unto the woman, now they're going to talk about it. What are they going to talk about? This is what they're going to say. Now we believe, not because of thy saying, but we have heard him ourselves and know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So the woman met him and talked about him. People came out to meet him because of what she said. But people came out and heard of him themselves and were convinced of who he was. And what did they do? They immediately started talking about it. Are you talking about Jesus at all in your daily walk, at the workplace, with your family, to your loved ones? Do you pick up the phone with your mom or dad and say, hey, I was reading in my Bible today, and poof. Do you ever pick up your Bible and say, man, I've got a question, and you've got to call somebody and ask them because it's a question about the Bible? You've seen, I don't understand that. Are you spending time with Christ? faithful followers talked about Jesus. You go to the John chapter 20, you'll find Peter. He's running up to the tomb. And what is John talking about? John, in John chapter 20, talks about what they saw on the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. John and Peter running into the tomb, pushing out of the way, running down inside. Mary Magdalene was there. They talked about it. Mary Magdalene talked about her encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. John documented that in that 20th chapter, and she was sorrow of heart, and she saw somebody there, but her eyes were all swollen and red, and tears were coming down, and she was wiping it away. And who is this guy that's interrupting my sorrow? Well, it was Jesus Christ. And she, the Bible tells us in John chapter 20, supposing he was the gardener, says, tell me where you've taken him. Tell me where you've taken him. But then Jesus spoke. And he said, Mary. In only a way that Jesus could do. And she replied back, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And what do we have that? We have that in John chapter 20. Why? Because people saw that. That was they say, well, if I saw Jesus, I'd talk about him too. Exactly. Exactly. But where are you going to see him? You're going to see him in his word. Where are you going to see him? You're going to see him in the everyday circumstances of life, ordering your steps. I'll tell you something that happened to me yesterday. Yesterday, I had a hospital visit in Washington, D.C. Georgetown Hospital. I'm coming out of Georgetown Hospital, and I'm coming down 23rd Street, and I'm going to get on the bridge that goes across, and I'm going to loop around and go back down by the airport and come back by the church. It's the way I always go. But when I came, I took the little archway. First, it takes you by the Kennedy Center, and I knew immediately when I'd done that, I said, that's dumb. I'm supposed to take the second right, not the first right. And so now I've got to go down there, and I got to loop around, and then I go across, and instead of getting on the parkway, I ended up on Route 1, and it's like, why am I here? I'm obviously not paying attention. And then I thought, well, if I'm here, I might as well cut through this back way. And as I cut through the pathway, and I'm going by Del Rey, I look over to the left-hand side, and there's Andrew Beatty, the mail guy. There's only one way that he would have been at that corner at the exact same time that I was on that street. And that's if I made a wrong first turn at a place where I turned routinely. And number two, I made a second wrong turn at a place I will go routinely, ended up on a wrong road, and say, well, who cares if you saw the mailman? Well, not just any mailman, it was Andrew Beatty. And it was Andrew Beatty who needed to go to the airport this morning, and he wasn't answering my text message. I think he's got me blocked. and we weren't communicating, and I needed to get in touch with him, and there he was. Now, you can say, oh, that's just coincidence. And I'm just saying, man, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I don't think that's something that's special that happens to the preacher. I think if you're looking for God to order your steps, even the missteps will become steps. And you'll say, oh, that was dumb. I wonder what God's got in store for me down the road. And you'll begin to look for the Lord to bring people across. It is not an unusual part of my day when I bump into somebody and I start talking to them about things of the Lord, and I look at them and say, the fact that I am here at this spot, at this time, and you are here at this spot and at this time is not coincidental. And God has brought our paths to cross so that I can tell you about my very best friend, Jesus Christ. And that happens almost every single day. If you'll look, if you'll be watchful, the Lord will bring people across your path, and you'll be able to say that. I'm a Christian. I know Christ as my Savior. I'm going to talk to you about Jesus Christ. God has put you here at this time for me to be able to talk to you. Jesus Christ with Nicodemus, Jesus Christ with the woman at the well, Jesus Christ with the people at the tomb. It's not accidental. It's on purpose. And you look for those things, you will see those things. Doubters such as Thomas. Now, we understand in John chapter 20 that Thomas was not in church when he should have been in church, and we expect God to speak in church, right? And Jesus showed up. Isn't that a neat thing when Jesus Christ shows up at church and he speaks to your heart? Don't take that for granted. Thomas was skipping that first week when Jesus showed up there, and he wasn't there. Why? Because Thomas said, unless I can feel the nail prints and the place where the sword pierced his side, I will not believe. But his friend said, hey, we saw him last week ourselves, and he's going to be in church this Sunday. Come on. And Thomas came back as a reluctant attendee to a service where he's just shaking his head and saying, he died on the cross, they put him in the tomb, you guys are crazy. But then something happened in Thomas's life. Jesus came into the room, the door was being shut. He showed himself to his disciples, and Thomas believed. He heard Jesus say, peace be unto you. And I don't know if he remembered that time when they were in the ship when Jesus said to the waves, peace, be still. And it was a very great calm. But those words of peace, Thomas was exactly convinced that Jesus was exactly who he said he was. And he fell on his face and prayed, my Lord and my God, as he talked to the Lord, five words. As he expressed that event in his life. Jesus Christ said to him, Thomas, in that 29th verse of the 20th chapter of John, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen physically and yet believe. Who would that be? That would be you. Can you hear that blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Blessed are they, you, who have not seen physically, but you've seen him spiritually, and he's changed your life. 1993, there was a book published by Regis Hauser and artist Michael Becker. It was a book about buried treasure. The people that bought the book, there are some 200,000 of them that were sold. The people that bought the book and looked for the treasure were called owlers, O-W-L-E-R-S, like the hoo-hoo owlers. They were called owlers. You like that? Okay. Why were they called owlers? Because they were looking for an owl. The owl was made of 7 pounds of gold, 16 pounds of silver, and had diamond chips, I believe, for eyes. The book contained 11 riddles, puzzles, with the 12th one hidden. But if you could figure out the first 11, then you could find where the 12th one riddle was, and it would take you to where the owl was buried. And I tell you, don't go out and buy the book, because they have just revealed that the owl has been found. Somebody solved the 11 riddles from the book. They found they solved the 12th riddle, and they went to the place where the owl was, and they found it. And what? Where is that? Man, it's on the news. Everybody talking about it. Can you imagine being the person that found the owl and saying, "I found the owl. I solved the riddle." You would be unbearable because you would talk to everybody about you. Yeah, Pastor didn't solve the riddle. I solved the riddle. Miss Eaton didn't solve the riddle. I solved the riddle. Mrs. Bishop did. Listen, even the smart people. Zachary didn't solve the riddle. I solved the riddle. Zachary had the book. He looked, but I'm the one that found it. Why? Because that was an event in your life. And we would walk into the room and you'd be telling us the owl story. And all the rest of us, we would roll our eyes. Oh, here we go. Hearing about the owl again. Visitors would come in for the first time, and you'd be telling them about the owl. Why? Because you found it. Why aren't we talking about Jesus? Is it because he's not your Savior? Or is it because we haven't spent time with him today? God changed my life. I was a good kid. I went to church, but I was without Christ. I was baptized as a young man, 8 years of age, but I was without Christ. But as a 19-year-old in the library, reading a sermon text, I got down on my knees and received the gift of God, which is eternal life. And I tell my testimony wherever I go. If I pass out a gospel tract, at the Home Depot, I sing. This changed my life. The gospel changed my life. The very fact that I'm here in Northern Virginia at the Home Depot, I would not be in Virginia at the Home Depot if it were not for the information in this piece of paper. And people look at you and they'll say, "Change your life." I say, "Change my life." I was 19 years of age, in college, and I got introduced to Jesus Christ. I got down on my knees in the library as a college student to trust Christ. What's that? Your testimony? What does that take? 17 seconds. And you walk away and you'll see people. Why? Because people today want to know what change your life. Because people have problems. And if there's something that changed your life, they want to know about it. Now, every once in a while, I'll pass out a gospel tract. I was at a gas station in Southwest Virginia. I think South Hill, I think it's called. Southwest Virginia, just before you go into North Carolina. And I was at a gas station there, and I said to the lady, let me share with you something that changed my life. And she said, "Thank you very much." And she was behind the counter. She reached out and she took it and she went, phew, just that quick. And then it went right in the trash can. But yesterday evening, I don't know, Mrs. Bishop, what time was it? About 7:45 when I got that text? Probably 7:45 p.m. A pastor friend of mine who lives out in central Virginia says, "I was just at the Martins getting gas, and somebody from your church left one of your gospel tracts." Culpepper? Was it Culpepper? Culpepper. I said, "Wow, isn't that good?" He said, "Somebody doing their job." I cannot but speak the things that I have seen and heard. Military man. Handed a gospel tract. "Thank you very much." He was in uniform, battle fatigues. And he took that tract and he folded it up. Said, "Thank you." Ripped open the Velcro, stuck the tract in there, put the Velcro back down, and walked away. And you would say, "Man, he's never going to read that thing in 100 years. But I know his testimony. A Marine, he was a Marine, he was deployed 3 times to the battle zone, Iraq and Afghanistan, and on his third tour, behind the line, taking incoming fire. He thought, I could die doing this. And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out this track. And he said, I believe I'm a sinner and I deserve death and hell as a penalty for my sin. And I can't save myself or earn salvation by my good deeds, but I believe that He is God, the Messiah and Savior who loved me and died to pay my death penalty. I believe that. And as best he knew how, on the battlefield, he trusted Christ. Put that paper back in his pocket, came back here to the States, turned over the backside, came and looked me up when he got back in town, said, somebody hand me a gospel tract, and I trusted Christ on the battlefield. And I looked at him and said, only a Marine would it take three tours on a battlefield before you realize that you could die doing this. I found the Lord in the library. Mrs. Bishop came to know the Lord at Vacation Bible School. The important thing is that you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Heard of Christ's love. Now she takes the gospel to school kids. Tomorrow afternoon, she'll get on. She'll go to Springfield and she'll go into a school. And why? She's going to tell little ones about Jesus Christ. Why? Because when she was a little one, somebody told her about Jesus Christ. Do you talk about Him? Do you tell others about Him? John Newton was a slave trader. He was a brutal slave ship captain. 1748. I mean, this guy was so vile that in 1748, he was on a slave ship. He wasn't the captain at that time. But he was so mean and so cantankerous and so ornery that the crew, his friends, took him and put him ashore and sailed without him on purpose because they couldn't stand to be around him. Ship comes back home. His dad, who was a big name, said, Where's John? And they said, man, we left that boy. He's impossible. We couldn't stand to have him on the ship another moment. And Dad paid somebody a ransom to go there and find his son and bring him back home. He became a captain of his own slave ship. Brutal, vile man. Had been presented the gospel, but had rejected Christ. We would look at that man and say, he is beyond hope. But God saw him out at sea. And God, the God that spoke to the sea and said, peace be still, looked down at the sea and said, get moving. And John Newton was in a storm, the likes of which he had never seen. Frightened out of his mind, he got down on his knees and begged God for mercy and came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And what did it do? It changed his life. And he wrote a song that we know and we love to sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. What would cause a wicked, vile slave trader to change? Jesus Christ. What would cause him to write a song that hundreds of years later, people would still be singing? Jesus Christ. Why isn't it that we don't see more songs like that written today? You tell me, is it possible we haven't seen Jesus Christ? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. And you're here and you'd have to say, Pastor, I don't talk about Jesus Christ because I've never really met Him. I know about him. I participated in some church rituals, but I have never received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And this morning you say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. I need to receive that gift. And God has spoken to my heart this morning. Raise your hand. Hold up for just a moment. Let me pray for you. Is there one? Question number two. You're a Christian. You know Christ. But you don't find yourself talking about him. But today, you're convicted that you need to spend more time with the Savior, thinking maybe if I spent more time with him, then I'd talk about him more. I'm telling you, you absolutely would. Preacher, would you pray for me that I spend more time with the Savior? And I will. A special time of prayer just for you. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for your word and pray that we as a church would indeed be motivated to do just that, to spend more time with our Savior. And I am confident that like Moses and Daniel and John, like Peter and Thomas and the Apostle Paul, that we would spend more time talking about you to others. May we be motivated to do that. Help us to do that, we pray. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. The piano is playing. The altar is open. You want to pray? You can.